on economic solutions, which I agree with 100%. But we also need to change the culture of schools. We need to change the curriculum of schools, as the brother who just called in was talking about. Fundamentally, right now, school does not work for our children, for poor people. School does not work for black and brown folk in large. And so we need to find a way to completely reorganize how school works and how we understand school.
All this also is a function of power. You know, yeah. Truman owned the Phoenix High School, right?
Right.
President. Arne Duncan will be the next Secretary of Education and does not have teaching experience. He brings another body of knowledge to the table. It seems that sometimes we use artificial standards to eliminate people from being able to display their talents and their abilities.
David, that's exactly right.
When David from San Francisco, morning, David.
Yeah, morning, Reverend. You know, I called about a separate issue, but I could actually easily tie it to it, attention deficit disorder and how that's crippling our schools. Are you aware of the big hazardous waste spill that happened up in eastern Tennessee, the Tennessee Valley Authority at Kingston, Kingston, Tennessee?
I'm not.
Well, this is massive. It was it's over 100 times bigger than the Exxon Valdez spill. This happened just before Christmas, so it got kind of buried by the headlines. But the spill contained lead, mercury, arsenic, and cadmium, plus some radioactive isotopes.
Now where is this?
It's called Kingston, Tennessee. If you look for, if you did like a Google search of TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority spill, you'll read some about it. And this thing, there was essentially criminal behavior on the part of TVA, but it has not been declared a disaster yet. This is Al Gore's state, and it runs into a waterway that goes into Alabama, Mississippi, and then Kentucky, and then the lower Mississippi. And in terms of education, these heavy metals are known to give attention deficit disorder and neurological damage to children. And so the states, you know, the southern states, and I'm looking at your affiliate list, you do have some affiliates down in, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, I guess Louisiana, as far as that's concerned, Arkansas, southern Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee. These states are going to be hard hit by this, and people are not getting the attention. One of the first things that need to be done with a spill like this is for everybody to be able to get a blood test so that you can know how, you know, what levels you have in your blood of lead or cadmium or arsenic or whatnot.
Well, you know that Al Gore has been a leader in this area. He certainly has the eye and the ear of the new president, who is an environmentalist himself, and I would like to think that your giving this information to us is of value. And I want you to call me this week at 773-FREEDOM so we can connect with our affiliates in that direction.
Yeah, that'd be great, because these people need to get the whole length of the Tennessee River as well as the Tom Bigbee Waterway.
It is a big deal. I'm cutting you a big show only because I got two more calls, and I want to give them the opportunity to tune in
for
a moment.
And but thank the you for ADD calling, aspect of it for education, because, you know, another generation of kids, if they're hit with these heavy metals in their system, they're going to have attention deficit disorder, and that's a real loss to the community.
Thank you, buddy. Brother Frank? Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Reverend Jackson. My statement is pertaining to public education, and I agree with you totally that that is part of the Constitution of the United States of America, that every child deserves a freedom of education. And I do not agree with charter schools because, as I heard somebody forestate, that the information that is gathered for your children is held private by the charter schools. And then there are so many other things that I don't agree with in reference to charter schools about the parent involvement and in reference to the local school council involvement and stuff like that. And to me, it just seemed like all of the things that has been happening is a sure way of busting the union, because when they turn these schools into reconstructive schools, charter schools, everybody lose their jobs. These people go over to charter schools trying to get jobs, okay? They don't have to be in the union. Okay, after certain at the time, if they bust the teachers union, which is the most biggest union they have, okay, they do that. Then I don't understand the education where the No Child Left Behind states that everybody can learn, which I understand everybody can learn, as the gentleman just was for stating. There's attention deficit disorder, there's spina bifida, there's hydrocephalus, there's different children with different diseases. Like Spalding School was the first physically challenged school in the country. That school is closed now. It serves children all the way from mild to severe learning disabilities. Girl X even attended Spalding School. That school had so much money that was put into that school for those children. Then they put those children out of that school and they transferred those children to other schools in the city of Chicago. They have physically challenged children that are severe coming up on elevators in the back of the school building where they deliver garbage. And some of these children, you have to monitor them whether or not they had a glass of water or whether or not they could...
Let me ask you a question. Could you meet me at Push Saturday?
Yes.
At 50th and Drexel at 9:30 a.m.?
Okay.
And ask for Dr. Bonita Carr, because we must turn our complaints into constructive action so we can fight back. There's too much silence in the face of these violations. Reverend Jesse Jackson, Keep Up Alive, talking to you around the nation today on this huge historic weekend. January 15th was the actual birthday of Dr. King. I was blessed to be with him on that last day as he fought for a poor people's campaign and to end war. End poverty at home and end war abroad. And that remains his agenda. He would be quite congratulatory of the new president on this coming Tuesday, but also say, but Mr. President, what's your plan for poverty and how do we end the war? And that would be that creative relationship between the two of them. Dr. Wolf, as we close out this session today, once again this weekend, what does it mean? Where should we go from here?
I think we're at a watershed moment, and it's a real milestone, but we will be judged, and we deserve to be judged by where we go from here, not just that we got here. And that focus on, the way you say it, on the marriage as opposed to the wedding, is what people need to stay really rooted in and focused on to make the future as good as it can be and to ride out what are going to be invariably somewhat tough times.
Dr. Hill, the engagement November the 4th, the wedding January 20th, but the marriage January 21st.
That's right. And as we, you know, bring our gifts and, you know, we give our congratulations for the wedding, it's our job as American citizens and as activists and as politicians and as freedom fighters to really support this marriage and make this marriage work, but constantly challenging the president and everyone else in Washington to make this a more perfect union.
Well, Jonathan, I think that the NAACP and the National Action Network, the Urban League, LULAC, the Black Caucus, these groups of conscience must remain vigilant even through these exciting political times in light of the economic crisis and the war drums beating louder.
We have to remember Dr. Dorothy Height's tremendous work. We have to remember the A. Philip Randolphs. We have to continue to call the names of all those that are still with us and those that have gone on, that have laid this groundwork. And they were not politicians. They were men of the cloth. They were men of conscience, women of consciousness. And let's always remember that's how progress was made.
The one thing I remember about Dr. King's work, he could take a singular focus, that is, one season was public accommodations. Next, it was the right to vote. Then open housing. I'm convinced right now education may be the pivotal, singular issue that the focus on all the rest of them. I want you who are listening to contact me this week. We want to form a national drive for 1% student interest loans. 1%. That will save schools. It will save children in school. It will save parents who cannot afford to keep their kids in school. And once you have an education, you can then carve out ways. You can create options. Those in education can carve out new territory. And I want to thank you today for listening. Thank God for allowing us to live at this time in history. But then through it all, strong minds break strong chains. Contact me on the web, www.rebelpush.org. Let's fight back together. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Keep Hope Alive with Reverend Jesse Jackson. For more information on upcoming shows and guests, please visit our website at www.keephopealiveradio.com.